Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Man, I'll tell you this, every time I'm in the house of God, I just absolutely love being here. How many love being in this house of God? And there's something divine. There's a divine design when we're in this room together, in this house together, joining by exalting the name of Jesus together. You know, in my dissertation and in my study, I studied church buildings. I studied holy locations and holy facilities. And there's a commonality throughout Scripture and really throughout my studies. And that is this. When there's a place that's dedicated to God, and there's a people that come together in that place, and they exalt Jesus, and they give their best, God blesses it. Can I get an amen?
Yeah, that's right.
But here's the thing. God is not limited. Okay, God's not limited to a building. He's not limited to a situation. He can move at any time, at any place, with any person. But throughout Scripture, He over and over again, He moves in specific places and He moves with specific people. So today I want to talk about one incredible location. And this location is where Jesus spent a lot of His time. And a lot of people say this, that this is the beginning of the New Testament church, the first New Testament church building. And today I want to tell you this, with Pentecost coming up, the day of Pentecost, May 19th coming up, I think it's so relevant that today I want to talk about the upper room. Anybody know about that upper room? Come on, somebody. So the title of my message is this, The Upper Room, The Ultimate Church Divine Design. It's the divine design for us as a church. And yes, I'm going to end up talking about the Holy Spirit today, because listen to me, we got to have the Holy Spirit power to do what God has called us to do. Bow your head with me. Let's pray. God, we love You. We praise Your name. Help us to have a great time in this place. Thank You for North Point Community Church. God, thank You for everyone in this room. Allow Your word to wash over us. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said,
amen,
amen and amen. Man, come on, let's get into this. Today, we're talking about four things that make a great church. So I want you to know that I'm so happy. I'm happy to be here at North Point Community Church, because I'm not preaching about something that you've got to become. Okay, I'm preaching about something that we are. Okay, we are the church of Jesus Christ. I got four brief points today, and it's about the upper room. And whenever I say the upper room, it's really the church of Jesus Christ. There's many more points than this, but these four, I feel like God has put on my heart. And whenever we think of the upper room, yeah, our mind goes to the day of Pentecost, right? Whenever the Holy Spirit fell, and it's glorious. But there's so many other events that took place in the upper room throughout Scriptures. And Jesus was involved in these events, and the disciples were involved in some of these events. And it's incredible because it gives us a pattern, what happened in the upper room. It gives us a divine design of what the church of Jesus Christ should look like. So today, the first event I want to get into that happened in the upper room is the Last Supper. So the Last Supper, 2 months before the day of Pentecost, the night before Jesus would be crucified the next day. This is the Last Supper, Luke 22, verse 7. If you have your Bibles, or just follow on the screen, Luke 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare for it? They asked. He replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asked, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. Guys, this is huge. This is Jesus's last meal with the disciples. And there's so much jam-packed in this verse, but what I want you to see is this occurred, this took place in the upper room. Jesus chose this location for the Last Supper. He chose this location to eat together, to fellowship together, to be together. My first point, it's an obvious one, but it's a very necessary one in the divine design of the Church of Jesus Christ. Point number one, the upper room is a place of fellowship. The upper room, it's a place of fellowship. Last week, I spent a lot of time on this very point when I was talking about, hey, we got to make space for the gospel, right? We got to be hospitable. We got to create space around our tables in community and fellowship. I'm not going to belabor this point, but I just want you to see one special aspect of us having fellowship. Sometimes we think about the upper room, and when you hear the upper room, you think, well, I got to get away with Almighty God by myself and experience God's power by myself. Well, I want to tell you that's not the upper room. Okay, that's a different room. Jesus talks about this room in Matthew 6. It's the inner room. And we go to the inner room. We experience Almighty God. But the upper room is where you go to be with other people on your journey. You need both rooms as a Christian. We got to have the inner room where we get away and we're alone with Almighty God, experience His presence, but we don't stay there and never come out to be with the community of Christ. Why? Because we'd be isolating ourselves. Isolating ourselves from the very body of Christ because the upper room, this is the place. I mean, look at this room. Look at the people around you where we come together. We experience remembering Christ in communion. We experience fellowship, community. We have life, and it's life abundantly. What is our name? North Point Community Church. And community is the divine design, the greatest weapon God has given us to have victory in our life. If you love North Point, put your hands together for our community. Come on. That's what God did. So they're up, and they have the Last Supper, and then the story continues. So John 13, verse 4. So after the Last Supper, Jesus gets up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured some water into a basin, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet and dries them. So picture Jesus. He's going from disciple to disciple. He's washing their feet. And then he gets to Peter, and Peter's like, Jesus, you gonna wash my feet? Like, what? And Jesus says this. He says, you don't realize what I'm doing now, but you will understand later. No, Peter says, no, you will not wash my feet. And Jesus reprimands him. He says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And Peter's like, well, I mean, if you're gonna wash my feet, Jesus, like, why don't you go ahead and wash my hands and my head? Like, wash my hair. I'm going to get my money's worth here, right? Like, what? Yeah. This is significant. I'm not going to go into it, but go down to verse 14. Skip down to verse 14. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed. Everyone say blessed.
Blessed.
You will be blessed if you do them. You are blessed if you serve. You know, Jesus washing the disciples' feet is a universal sign of servanthood.
Yeah.
So in the divine design of the Church of Jesus Christ, point number two, the upper room is a place of service. It's a place of service.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, every single Sunday morning we have our serve team and we gather in a circle right here and I have like this big bucket and I just have my towel and I go, I make all of them take their socks and shoes off and I wash their feet like one after another. I can't stand smelly feet in the house of God, okay? We're just gonna, you're looking at me like, what in the world? I'm totally lying right now. Like, none of that's true. Some of y'all are like, what kind of church is this? Some of y'all are like, I want that foot washing. Like, I want to join the circle. You are sick. You're sick. No, we gather in a circle, and we get here, and I say this every Sunday morning, right here on stage. I say, there's a blessing on your life because you serve in the house of God.
Yes.
How do you know that? He said it right here. Right. You will be blessed. Everyone say blessed.
Blessed.
Blessed if you do as Christ did. We serve one another.
Yes. So good.
And the early church focused on taking care of each other's needs. They did. It says in the Bible, they were without need. Their basic needs were met. They served one another until it got a little bit messy. The widows and some other people said, hey, this serving, it's not fair. I don't like this. So the apostles, they appointed 7 deacons to be over the serving. That's where we get the word deacons. They had a structure around the serving. So get this. It wasn't like, hey, serving is kind of becoming an inconvenience. We're just going to do away with that. No, we can't do away with that because that's what Christ did. And that's what we do. So they made a structure around it. They understood what we did. And I love the fact that here at North Point Community Church, every Sunday morning, we got serve teams all throughout this place. You know, we got our in-builders, our financial leaders. We have our worship team, our production team. We have community group leaders all throughout the week. Back to schools team packing thousands of meals. What is that? Well, friends, that's the divine design of the church.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Doing what Christ did.
That's good.
And you are blessed because of it. Put your hands together for the serve teams in this place.
Yes,
come on.
Yes.
That's what God does. So you get that. Let's move on to the next event I want to talk about. This next thing happened in the upper room. It doesn't specifically say it, but because of the scriptures surrounding this passage, we know this occurred in the upper room. The disciples are waiting, and the resurrected Jesus, the first time they've seen resurrected Lord, is this event. So John 20, verse 19 is what the Bible says. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. So Jesus appears, then he leaves, but then Thomas comes, and they're like, Jesus is alive. We saw him. And Thomas says, I'm not believing anything you have to say. I'm not going to believe unless I see Jesus, unless I touch Jesus. Jesus comes back, reveals himself to Thomas, allows him to touch his wounds. And Jesus says this to Thomas, stop doubting and believe.
Yeah.
There's 2 things I want you to see in this passage. The first is the disciples, they are locked away in fear. Okay, they're fearful that the others that crucified Jesus, they're going to try to crucify them too. The place they felt safest was in the upper room. Second thing I want you to see is, once Jesus arrives, he immediately begins to restore their faith. And this, friends, is the divine design of the Church of Jesus Christ. Point number 3, the upper room is a place of refuge where faith can be restored. This is a place of refuge where God wants to build your faith. In the story, we see Jesus visiting the disciples. They're hiding away. But in this moment, Jesus, he speaks to their future. In this moment, he shows them, I really am alive. And I just want to give you a disclaimer. I'm not advocating for us to run away from our problems or to hide away from the big, bad world out there. No, I'm telling you, every single one of us, we've got to have a refuge. A refuge is where you go to heal. A refuge is where you go to rebuild. It's not that you're hiding away forever. It's just that you know you need a safe place to land. Like it's the shelter in the midst of a tornado. Guys, what in the world is going on with our weather lately? Like 2 tornado warnings in this past week. I'm blaming it on the eclipse. How many of y'all, right? I'm gonna preach on that next week. Y'all, come on. You know, just this past week, we had our dear friends, the Jennings, and they have a bunch of kids. We got a bunch of kids. And they were at our house. Y'all might remember Sunday night, but it was crazy. That storm cloud just was like, it just came in so quick. And then it just, the bottom dropped out. It's raining, like the wind's going. We got all the kids in our living room, and then the lights just go out. We lost power. So the kids are like screaming, and it's just, it's chaos. And then to add to everything, that God-forsaken alarm goes off on the, it's like, we're definitely going to die now, right? It's like, we are done for. So I look at my phone, and it says, tornado extreme, take shelter. Now, my seven-year-old, he's a great reader now, and he looks over my shoulder, and he's like, tornado extreme, take shelter. Take shelter, Dad. Everyone, we've got to take shelter. Take shelter. And he's like screaming. Was he not, Diz? It was like the most intense moment. And we're just kind of ignoring him. But then he gets so loud. He's a leader. You know, I mean, he's a leader. He's so loud. We're like, okay, let's get him. So we get him into the safe room, right? We get him into the closet where he feels safest, where he feels like nothing can get him, where he feels safe away from the storm. And this is what we all have to have, friends. Wow. And that is what the Church of Jesus Christ, that's what it is.
Yes.
You come here for refuge.
Yes.
You come here when your faith has been tattered and torn.
Yeah, that's right.
And you need encouragement.
Yeah.
Maybe you need a faith boost.
Yes.
You need to hear stories of others and find out that God really does answer prayer. God really does put relationships back together. God really does restore and mend the brokenhearted and changes our lives. Friends, we've got to have that place. And that's what the disciples needed. The disciples, in this moment, this was monumental for them. Because they're terrified, like I said. They're in their safe room. Then Jesus shows up. He builds their faith. But then he leaves. Thomas comes back and he's like, guys, I don't believe anything that y'all are saying. I'm gonna have to see Jesus for myself. I'm gonna have to touch Jesus for myself. And get this, Jesus answers his exact prayer.
Yeah.
Jesus shows up for him, allows him to see him, allows him to touch him. And I'll tell you this, if this is your place of retreat, God will answer exactly what you're asking and give you exactly what you need.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They needed this.
Yeah.
The disciples, they had the task to take the gospel to the world, right? But yet they weren't even sure they believed it themselves. But Jesus meets them in the upper room and he builds their faith. That's what we got to do. The last thing I want you to see about this point is, guys, coming to church, it should be building your faith.
Yes.
Okay, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God.
Yeah.
Faith is something that we all grow in. Everyone say grow. Jesus said if you just have the faith the size of a mustard seed, but he didn't intend for your faith to stay that small, okay? Just look at the language of Jesus to the disciples. Jesus is saying constantly, asking them questions like, guys, where's your faith? Haven't you seen enough by now? In other words, being with me should be making you believe. And I'm telling you today, come into the upper room, come into church. Friends, it should be building our faith. You should have more faith today and understand that you're in the palm of God's hand than you felt 5 years ago. No, you should have more faith this week than you had last week. And that's what taking refuge in the upper room did for the disciples. And that's what taking refuge in the church, it will do for all of us.
Yes.
You know, back in 2020, when the whole world was shutting down, Pastor Sarah and I, we were pastoring Shreveport Community Church. Now, for those of you that haven't been here in a while or you don't know, in January, Pastor Sarah and myself, we became the lead pastors of North Point Community Church. And now we pastor both Shreveport Community Church and North Point Community Church. And you have a family church across the river. Come on, you got a family church. And Pastor Destiny and Phil, they are our oversight. And there are incredible leadership pastors. And really are, that we look to them for the direction that we're going. Can we put our hands together for Pastor Destiny and Phil? We love you. So back in 2020, when the whole world was just shutting down, right? I still run to my daddy when I don't know what to do. You're like, I'm almost 40 years old. I'm like, Dad, what do I do? And the whole thing is my dad is greater in times of crisis than anyone I've ever seen in my life. So I come to Dad, I'm like, Dad, what are we going to tell the church? What are we going to do? And Dad just says, hey, listen, the word of the Lord is we're not just going to survive through this. We will thrive through this. He said the church is never just to survive through things. No, in any circumstance, the church thrives. And in one moment, going from fear, I had great faith. That's what a word of God does to you.
That's good.
And I couldn't wait to bring it to the church. Guys, we're not just going to survive through this. We will thrive through this time. And that is exactly what happened.
Yes.
We were more in communication with the church than we had ever been. Giving went up, online presence. When we came back, numbers were great, and it happened. But more than anything, friends, it built my faith. I love looking back on my life. Year after year, God's always working on me. God is always building my faith. And I don't even have to ask you the question because I know if you've been here at North Point Community Church for any amount of time, I know your faith is stronger than it was before. I know that you understand that God really is a God that answers prayer. I know that you've experienced your faith growing. And you say, man, I haven't experienced that yet. I'm still in that moment of retreating. Keep coming back. Keep coming to the house of God because God is going to transform you and he's going to build your faith.
Yes.
If you've experienced that, give God some praise right now. If you know that to be true, come on, we can do better than that. Give God some praise right now. And this last event is the one that we all think of in the upper room. This occurred in the upper room. It's when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. The day of Pentecost came. They were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came through from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be the tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The divine design of the church, point number four, the upper room is a place of Pentecostal power. The upper room is a place of Holy Spirit power. Now, of course, we know the Holy Spirit was with them in the fellowship, was with them in the service, was with them when they retreated, was with them when their faith was being built. But this is different because in this instance, the Holy Spirit baptizes them in power. Everyone say power.
Power.
We got to have that power. If we're looking for the divine design of what the church should look like, this moment in the upper room is the most important moment in the history of the church. This is the moment where the upper room becomes a place of Holy Spirit power, where people of faith, they've been patiently waiting. They've been serving. They've been retreating. Their faith is being built. They're waiting. They're waiting. And then all of a sudden, the Lord gets ready and baptizes them in power. Whenever they're baptized in power, they have the ability to leave that upper room and go back into the world to preach the gospel unashamedly, to preach the gospel with power, with signs and wonders following them everywhere they went.
Very good.
Last week, I talked about this a little bit, but I talked about doing what Jesus did. And I mentioned that we should all be able to offer prayer for someone that's in need. So we pray for them and we demonstrate this is what our God can do and the power of God can transform them. Now, I want you to look and listen to me. I don't know exactly what God really wants that to look like. And the disciples, they did not know what God wanted it to look like either. All they knew is, hey, we're going to wait. For 10 days, they're waiting. They don't know what they're waiting for. They don't know what it's going to look like. All they know is that God had promised to fill them with the same power that filled Jesus. And if that happened, they would be able to do what Jesus did.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, we know what Holy Spirit power, what it looks like because of the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul, he outlines this in 1 Corinthians 12. He gives a list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He literally lists them off. And we see this in his letter to a church, and he's trying to calm this church down because the church has kind of gotten weird and a little off. And he writes this letter, and he's like, no, it's not supposed to look like that. It's supposed to look like this. And he gives them a new definition of what it's supposed to look like. And right now, I want to tell you, if the word Holy Spirit and signs of wonders, it's like a trigger word for you, I want to tell you it shouldn't be. Because here's the thing, if someone has defined this in a negative way in the past, or maybe you've had a negative experience where claiming that was the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says this, the Holy Spirit is our helper.
Yes, yes,
so if it doesn't help you, if it's not giving you power, that's not the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
So I'm asking today a clean slate so that we have the ability to ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us, to ask for what God has for us in power and in help. So here's the list that Paul gives us. He said, ask for supernatural wisdom. And in this supernatural wisdom, some of you are facing situations you have no idea how to make it through. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you so that he will give you the answer. You know, supernatural knowledge is another gift, and that's the ability to know things that you'd never know on your own. So you pray for somebody, and there it is. It always begins with prayer. Everyone say prayer.
Prayer.
It begins with prayer. And you pray for one of your friends, and after you pray, they look at you and say, there's no way you could have ever known the things you were praying. And they know that God cares so much about them that he would allow you to have words of knowledge. Pray for that. Supernatural healing. You pray for somebody. There it goes again. Starts with prayer. And when you pray for them, they are supernaturally healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, we need to ask for this gift because we need God to heal our bodies. The gift of speaking in tongues. He talks about that. When I was younger, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was filled with the gift of speaking in tongues. Still to this day, sometimes when I'm having a tough day, when I'm going through something, I'll just sit in my car and I'll just pray in the Holy Spirit. And I know that God is praying the perfect prayer through me, but after, get this, I feel like the Holy Spirit has helped me. I feel like God has given me power. It's power and it's help. Ask for this gift. He talks about the gift of prophecy, speaking into people's future, the gift of spiritual discernment, the gift of interpreting. Some of you have experienced every single one of these. Some of you are hearing this for the very first time and you're confused right now. No matter where you are or in between, let me tell you this. The bottom line is this. God, I want what you have for me. I want your power and I want your help. I need your strength. And whenever you say that, you don't know what it's going to look like. The disciples didn't know what it was going to look like, but they waited, and what they got was the greatest thing they could ever imagine. I want you to stand with me right now. Everyone stand in this place. And I just want to ask you a question. How many of you in this place want to be the divine design of the church? How many of you? That should be every person in this place. We want to be the divine design. We want this place to be our place. We give God our best, where the abundant life happens, fellowship and community. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. This is a place of serving. Let me tell you this. When you serve, there's a blessing over your life. This is our refuge. This has got to be your place that you run to. Instead of the world, you run to Almighty God. And I believe that Jesus is going to meet you and he's going to build your faith stronger and stronger. But all of this, I'm telling you, we've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. The way we have the power of the Holy Spirit, God, give me your power. Give me your strength. I want to be the divine design of the church of Jesus Christ. So we're going to do a little something different today. How many of you want to be the divine design of the church of Jesus Christ? You want that? Here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask if you're comfortable. Get out of where you're standing. And I want you to come down to the front right now. If you want to be part of the divine design of the church, come down here and fill the front. If you're uncomfortable, you can do this at your seat still. But those that are comfortable, get out of your seat and come down to the front. Because I believe in a physical step, there's a spiritual step that God loves to do. And God is doing something so special today. So this is what I ask. As you make your way, everyone just bow your head with me. Close your eyes. And if you want to be filled with power today, if you want help, repeat after me. Holy Spirit, fill me.
Holy Spirit, fill me.
Holy Spirit, lead me.
Holy Spirit, lead me.
Holy Spirit, guide me.
Holy Spirit, guide me.
Again, Holy Spirit, fill me.
Holy Spirit, fill me.
Holy Spirit, lead me.
Holy Spirit, lead me.
Holy Spirit, guide me.
Holy Spirit, guide
me. Now close your eyes. Let's have a moment where we just wait on Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.